Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Who's excited for tonight? Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, you say that now.
You say that now, but we'll see how we go. No, it's going to be incredible. Tonight, like Pastor Mike said, we get the opportunity to, as Pastor Matt spoke this morning in his message, that in order to have success in anything, we need wisdom. We need wisdom. And tonight, we have the opportunity as a congregation to pull wisdom out of our amazing, beautiful campus pastor. So who's excited for that? Get some wisdom. I can promise you, I've heard them at DNA Marriage. I've heard them at DNA Dating. I've gotten the opportunity to do life with them. And our marriage, my wife and I, Tanae, is successful, I think, largely because of them. So I can promise you the same is true for you, whether you're single, whether you're dating and you're not married yet, or whether you're married, this will be for you. So get out your notebook and get ready. But I figured we'd start. I know some people probably know their story, but Pastor Matt, Michaela, can you tell us how you met and how long you've been married? Maybe how long you've been married and then how you guys met. Can you tell that story?
Oh, yes. It's a great story.
Her
That's why we have to
first.
Tell it. Well, my husband threw me under the bus about 40 times this morning.
Whoa.
And one of the ways he did it is by saying I was dating four guys when we first met. But it's true. I still was dating four guys when we first met. But we met in the airport on the way to Vegas. I was going to see a guy there that I had just met a few months prior, and I was unsaved. So to my credit, I was not being a bad Christian girl. I was not saved. I didn't know. And I grew up with I grew up with an absent father who was in and out of jail. He was an alcoholic, had a stepdad that was incredible, but just was broken. So I didn't know the difference. I didn't know, you know, I was looking for love in all the wrong places. And in walked into my life, Matt Hubbard. And the best thing that ever happened to me besides getting saved was meeting my husband, sitting in the airport. And I saw him right away, and he instantly annoyed me. Which is why I wanted to marry him. But he had this long hair, so it was like down to about here on each side.
And any pictures?
I didn't bring any pictures.
Just imagine John Wick, Keanu Reeves.
That's what he was going for.
Whoa.
But he was like this in the airport.
Oh, yes, right.
Pacing back and forth with a drink in his hand and flipping his hair like this. And I'm like, what is that guy doing? Like, I don't know if he's trying to get all the attention or what, but anyways, sure enough, I had an empty seat next to me, and within about 5 minutes, he sat in it. And I was like, oh, great, here we go. This is going to be awesome. And then right when he started talking to me, he did completely charm me. He was reading a magazine, a GQ magazine, and he was smelling the colognes, and he leaned over. Hey, do you like the way this smells?
That's a free one-liner for skills. All of you.
Skills, people, skills. The tools you have.
And I said,
I'm like, I'm going to go get that girl on a date. It's going to cost me $5.95 GQ magazine.
And I said, it's good. I like it.
And then I said, if you settle for good, you'll never be great. Hence the book, Good to Great. Thank you. Malcolm Gladwell, who wrote that book.
And it actually was a good pickup line because he had my ear from there. So saved me a seat on the airplane, gave me his phone number. But then I never called him when we were in Vegas. I was hanging out with this other guy. And when we got home, I found his card at the bottom of my purse. My mom encouraged me to call him because he was a chiropractor. And we've always been under chiropractic care. My mom's like, come on, promise me you'll call him. He's a chiropractor. And so I promised my mom...
I was a piece of meat, is what she was saying. She was using me for my skill set.
So
it's horrible.
Because I promised my mom, I called him. And sure enough, I was actually on my way out to go out with my girlfriend. I was in college at the time. And he goes, oh, where are you going? Where are you at? I'm going to come meet you. And then he was there in like 10 minutes. So he didn't waste a moment.
Let's give points.
Yes.
Points.
Yeah. That's the story,
how
we met.
You see it, go after it.
Yes.
Hello, men. I meet more men that stall, fold like a deck chair.
Whoa.
Second guess themselves. If you see the girl that you're going to be with, you got to know what you want, so be intentional about it. You know, I already knew. I was 30-something. You know, I was 30 at the time. Yeah. And I knew exactly, I'd already dated a ton, which we'll get into. So I knew what I wanted, and I had my list. Yep. The only problem was, on the way to Vegas, I found out she wasn't saved. But here's the first thing I did, and this is no joke.
This is no joke, yes.
I said, you could be the devil for all I know. So, when we get back, I'd love to take you to church. And she goes like this. She goes, oh, I'm open to it. My mom just started going. She recently got saved. So maybe I should. She's been hounding me, blah, blah, blah. I just opened the door. I went there. Because here's the truth. Yeah. I didn't want to go on a date with the bombshell, get emotionally invested in her, and then realize she's not going to line up with my core values. And if she wouldn't have lined up with my core values, I would have ran. Because I had some fear of the Lord in me because I'd done it my way. Yeah. And I didn't want to meet a psycho, even though she was pretty. You know what I mean? And so I was looking at this 22-year-old. She's blonde at the time. And, oh, my gosh, trouble. All written all over. But how many of you know one drop from heaven can change somebody?
And then I got saved on the first church service that he brought me to.
And this is a testament to our church. Get this. We're in the Marriott. Okay, so get this. It doesn't matter where church is being held. It doesn't matter all the LEDs, flashy lights. Because some people say, I'll bring my friends when. The AC works, or the mic works, or whatever. Here's what I learned. I brought her, and literally, I grew up just in jacked-up Christianity my whole life. I was the black sheep, but here's the cool testament to this church. I brought her on her first Sunday. She gave her life to Christ. And then I went up to my pastor, because I did want to honor my pastor. I went up to Pastor Juergen, and I said, Pastor Juergen, you know, she just got saved. If you want me to sideline, sit on the bench, I totally get it. I was waiting for the good pastoral beatdown, if you would. All he did was stick out his... and he fist bumped me, and I'll never forget. I'm like, my pastor just fist bumped me. What does that mean? I don't know. See, I was still healing. So I was crying every Sunday, getting healed up of religiosity, going to church my whole life, thinking I knew the way. But what happened was, it set me free in a moment. Yeah. And then I go, but Pastor Juergen, she's 9 years younger. And he goes, oh my gosh, give me another one. Right there, I was sold out to our pastor. I'm like, what? No. She doesn't even know, like, Jonah and the whale. She doesn't know, like, David and Goliath. Like, I'm so spiritual. Like, what an idiot. Pastor Juergen looked at me and he goes, God can supernaturally teach her everything she needs to know. You get her with my wife, Pastor Leanne, and watch what God does. No joke. She started hanging out with Pastor Leanne, now they're best friends, and I watched this little immature, insecure girl turn into an incredible woman of God to the point where, this is no joke, to the point, Pastor Juergen said to me, hey, man, it looks like your girlfriend's more on fire than you. You better step up your man game. I got challenged by my pastor because she was more hungry for God than I was. I was so slow playing it, and she was on fire. The minute she got saved, she's had a heart for ministry ever since. So I'm saying, you don't ever know. Now, am I saying go missionary date? No, because you're playing with fire. I was kind of like a fireman, though, so it was fine. But... I'm just saying, don't play with stuff that you can't handle. Yeah. And I had a decision in my heart that if I brought her to church and it wasn't going to work, I was out. Because it wasn't my job. I didn't want to train wreck my life. And I see too many people that try to play that game, but 6 months later, they're still dating them or her. Mm-hmm. And they have all the justification, all the reason, except they have no wisdom about it.
Yeah, the key with it, I was instantly willing to be in church, and I was on fire for it. I was excited about it. I was going to the prayer meetings. I was all about it. So if you're a guy here and you're going to do this, you have to make sure that the girl is on fire for God more than she is you. And that's what it was. Like, at one time, we literally got in a fight. If we were going to break up, who was going to leave the church? So it worked out. We decided to get married so we could both stay.
There you go. That makes it a little easier. And I love that you guys talked about, you know, how Pastor Jürgen and Leanne kind of took you under their wing, and how at first you said if she didn't line up with your core values that it wasn't going to work out. And that takes a certain intention, whether it's, you know, building a business, whether it's having friendships, or especially building a relationship in marriage. Intentionality breeds success. So can you guys talk about how to have intentionality in our relationships, in our marriages, and how that affects it?
Yes, we can, Alex. Thank you. Great question. Oh. Great question.
Thank you.
You know, intentionality is so important. Intentionality, you set the pace for whatever you want. Right. You know, how bad do you want a girlfriend? How bad do you want a boyfriend? And then what kind of man or woman are you going to be? I had the intentionality of I was doing it my own, to my own principles, compromising along the way. And I said, man, I'm going to date her. And I didn't start off. I watched my friend, like, on his first date, he's buying the girl, like, a stereo for his car. I'm like, where do you go from there? Like, you're going to Fleming's on the first date? I mean, where do you take her next week? Yeah. Dude, you're going to run out of money before she falls for you. You know, my philosophy is I went to Starbucks a lot on a date. And you start there. Let's just call it 3 p.m, okay? And as fast as I can drink this, the date's over. So if it's going awkward, I'm drinking this thing fast. Okay, if it's train wreck, awkward turtle, suck down. I'd be like, so nice meeting you. But listen, if it's going great, slow play that drink. And you know what? Wow, we're moving into evening. Can I take you to dinner? And you don't start off like Fleming's. You start at Outback or something. I mean, but take her somewhere nice, Carl Strauss. I mean, there's plenty. We live in the foodie town, San Diego. Start somewhere, and then, listen, stop it there. You know? Do the takeaway. You could always go to a second dinner. Okay? Or breakfast. You know, I just see people start off so guns a-blazing. Or they tell me this Christianese. Christianese dating drives me crazy.
Uh-oh. Go there.
Oh, I'm going there. So if you are like, oh, I'm waiting for the one. What do you mean you're waiting for the one? I mean, just, you got to go date. You know what screwed up Christianity was that book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye. Amen. And you know what's so funny? That Jack Wagon, I knew, and he made a lot of money on that book. And then his second book came out, which is the truth. Here's the truth. He didn't know how to date, so he wrote the book, got it published, I Kissed Dating Goodbye, train wrecked all my Christian friends in college. And here's what happened. His second book came out. You know what it did? It contradicted his entire first book, because he went, got a girlfriend, and got married. And then he says, yeah, that first book, I was just insecure. Thank you for train wrecking all my Christian buddies at Westmont.
There's a lesson there.
There's a lesson there. Just be careful what you read. Yeah. The second thing is get around people that have fruit in their life. Yeah. And then just date, but do it respectfully. Yeah. Like, too many people date, but they don't know how to date respectfully, and they start crossing boundaries or borders, emotional attachments, or just saying real things. Like, you don't own that person. I won't go there on my one theory. But I'm just saying, you're just dating or courting. Chill out a notch. Do it. You know, I was going to say this. Sometimes you're dating, and it's a small circle. And then it doesn't work out with that person. But you met some really cool people in that, and maybe you even had an attraction or chemistry with someone else in that circle, but you're like, I'm not going to date him. Only Christians do that. Yeah. He's friends with in the circle. Well, if you did this one, if you broke up right and you respected and honored one another, dating his friend isn't really going to matter. But if you're never setting up boundaries with what healthy dating looks like, you're right. Maybe you should work on yourself for a while and just not date totally. But I'm so setting the intention of how you're going to date, be mindful, be respectful about it, set up boundaries, be honorable about it. It's healthy. We had serious boundaries set up when we were dating, because I had to. You know, San Diego State girl, man. I was like, whoa.
You talk about the 1 to 10 thing.
The 1 to 10.
Yeah, go there.
We'll talk about the 1 to 10 thing, but first I wanted to go down that road from the female's perspective of being intentional. And so here I am being dated, but there's obviously was a gap. So we have an age difference, and he's been in church his whole life, and I'm new to church, and I'm a new Christian. Yes, I'm on fire, but there's a gap. And so, you know, from the female's perspective, I had to intentionally work on myself. So I read books like The Confident Woman from Joyce Meyer that completely changed my life. you know, I wrote on my mirrors, I wrote prophetic anointed gift, prophetic anointed voice to this generation on my mirrors. I put sticky notes everywhere. I had, you know, podcasts playing in my car all the time. And I really took that season and that time to make myself better. And I think, you know, sometimes we can get so wrapped up in dating that we forget, you know, to work on ourselves. We're so focused on the other person and so obsessed with this other person that we actually forget. And you're going to be stronger together if you're working on yourself, even when you're dating, and remaining a confident person in your own right. So
yeah, insecurity will rob you of a great relationship. Yeah. So
tweet that.
Everything that you can read and get your hands on to let God work or the Holy Spirit work on that insecurity will only make your relationship or dating stronger. Take that into marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you get married and suddenly the insecurities go away. They actually get highlighted.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, 1 to 10.
Can you guys handle the 1 to 10?
Are you guys ready for this? This changed my life.
Oh, shoot.
It did. It saved my life, actually.
Well, we'll break off some religious spirits if you have any left.
Okay, so obviously when you're dating, you're hanging out together, and then you might start holding hands, and like maybe you're by yourself, and then it might start to get a little bit awkward because like you're starting to get...
It doesn't get awkward.
...excited about each other. And so we had to implement, again, I came from an unsaved background, so I didn't fully understand the concept of saving myself for sex. And so we had to come up with strong boundaries.
She couldn't keep her hands off me.
That's what I said.
No, it was serious because, and this is really serious because I had already been down that road, okay? And it's amazing. I grew up in a church, no one talked about it. All my Christian friends at church, all my Christian friends at church, I was the black sheep at church all the time and everybody knew it. I was just outspoken about what a black sheep I was at church growing up in high school, okay? So there's no denial. They all knew I was not a very good boy in high school, okay? They were all pretending to be good boys in high school, living with the Christianese mask. But let me tell you, when they got to the real world, all my friends that I grew up with in youth group that were sitting there judging me because they knew of my background, being a little promiscuous, then when we went off to college, when they all did stupid things, and stupid things happened, but they were playing Christianese their whole life, they had no one to turn to because they were being judged by all their friends. So they had these really shallow relationships when it came to that point of view. They all called me. And I was there for them because I had no judgment. I had been down the road, but they all apologized because they knew how they were in high school. And I'm telling you that this morning we talked about that V card, and Christians ruin it. The church doesn't talk about the virtue of saving your virginity because it's such a taboo word that they just bury it under the carpet and hope your parents talk to you about it.
Yeah.
And then parents are straight up in denial. My kid would never do that. Right. My mom still to this day goes, "Are you sure you didn't wait?" Mom? Pastor Juergen broke off a lot of soul ties. I'm sure. Now, my brother waited till he was 30. My brother, and I used to tell him, don't be an idiot like me. Yeah. This is before I even knew about soul ties and all the rest of it. But I'm telling you, the 1 to 10, literally, we created it on our own. I was, like, asking mentors, and I'm like, dude, how? I had to go to Pastor Juergen, and he's like, man, here's the thing. If it starts getting, you know, that movie, she starts, you know, coming over and leaning in, whispering in your ear, you might just have to make a call at some point. Well, I'm very, like, she's black and white, and I'm very, like, systems-oriented, so I'm like, let's come up with a scale. So I came down to her, and I listen. Let's, no joke, you're very attractive. And
Thanks. And
I know that you're 22 with a drive, and you can't keep your hands off me. So we legitimately came up with this scale. If you're over a 7, I need to know. Sometimes you just wake up, and you're already turned on. And we're going here, people. This is going to help some
people. Very practical. It's very practical.
So what happened was, I'd be coming over, we'd be making dinner, we'd just be dating, and I'd walk in and see her and be like, I'm an 8. I'm an 8.
Honestly.
And so the moral of the story is we never got to hang out.
No.
Just kidding.
And she goes like this. This is no joke. Sometimes she'd be like, I'm a 3. Or I'm a 1. And we know why sometimes she would ever be a 1. It'd be the only time. And like, we had nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. So we'd be having dinner, it wouldn't matter. We could watch a movie, cuddle, nothing to worry about. But sometimes I walk in, I'll be like, I'm an 8. She'll be like, I'm a 10. I'm going to leave the car running. And there was times, there's no joke, we were watching a movie one time. She was kissing on me a little bit. We started making out. I'm a 12. I'm up. I'm out of there. Like, oh my gosh. I'm out. She goes, where are you going? I'm a 12. I got to go right now. Pastor Juergen, 911. What do I do? Help me. Pastor Juergen, you're not answering. I'm leaving you a voicemail. You promised you'd be there for me. She's running out her apartment. Get back here right now. And if you think I'm joking, I would not lie on the platform
it's
God
true.
Gave me.
It's true. I did take every shoe I could find in sight and start throwing it at him as he's running down the street, driving away.
My car he's couldn't start away. Fast
I'm
enough.
I'm throwing shoes
Pastor
at the car.
Pastor, you can call me back. Dude, I got your 911 message. Did you make it out? I made it out. I think she's going to break up with me.
Honestly, I remember hearing that in a DNA panel. And I was like, and I was just about to date Tanae. I was like, I think that'll be a good idea. And it saved me on numerous occasions. So I do appreciate
Yay.
The scale.
Good job, Alex and Tanae.
Tanae also chased me down, but I was able to rev the car fast
she
enough
and
we
that.
Got out of
yeah.
there.
She would do that.
But besides the 1 to 10 scale, maybe I know there's a lot of couples here. Maybe you're a young dating couple, or maybe you're not quite at that marriage step. But what would be your one piece of advice for them? Maybe besides the 1 to 10 thing.
Babe.
Well, I thought that was pretty good. Thanks, Alex.
It was amazing.
I would say, from a female's perspective, like I said, is figure out every single way you can to make yourself the best you can. And when you face insecurities, to bring it straight to God as quick as you can. Because all of us, we fall when we're insecure. You know, we make bad choices when we're insecure. And so if that's coming up for you, you can get prayed for. You can get, ask your Connect group leader, ask the ministry team tonight to pray over you. Because actually, insecurity comes from fear, and fear is not of God. So all we have to do is pray for you and cast out that, and you'll see a big difference.
Yeah, my thing is, if you've already gone there and crossed the line, get prayed for. Break off a soul tie. You already got one. And all that means is that soul tie will be there egging you on, and you will fall again. So you have an accountability partner, you break off the soul tie, you repent, and then you ask God for wisdom. I call it the Holy Spirit alarm system. Yeah. You know what? He sets up security. He wants you to live the blessed life. So let's start doing what we need to do to preserve that and honor that, because God did make it a sacred, amazing thing. Even if you're divorced, you've already been that. You've already tasted the fruits. You know, but you're going to date again, and you're going to be blessed again. Set it up. I mean, it's amazing. I even had to coach my mom through this. How awkward. Like, here she is on her second marriage, and she's just having these insecurities because she wants to get married so bad, and she doesn't want to. I'm like, I can't believe I'm having this conversation with my mom, but it helped my mom. I had to be real. I had to go there. Amazing Christian woman, but the man wasn't equally yoked in the beginning. He went to church, said he was a Christian, but hey, they've already been married. They had their own little scenarios of rules. I had to walk my own mom through that. And I'm telling you, it's an important thing.
And I would say, if you're here dating and you have slipped up, made a mistake, and you know, gotten physically intimate with your boyfriend or girlfriend, I would say that, you know, we weren't perfect. And we had to actually go to Pastor Juergen and Leanne and ask for advice on what to do.
Why are you looking at me? That's so not true. This is what happened. You want to hear the real truth?
No, babe.
I grew up Christian-y. This is serious. I know. My wife comes to me after service and goes, hey, I talked to Pastor Juergen. He's going to see you tomorrow at your office.
I did.
What do you mean you talked to Pastor Juergen? Well, I let him know we hooked up. You did. You told my senior pastor. Babe, it was the one time. Why do you have to go tell our senior pastor? Oh, he just said he'll handle it at the office tomorrow.
So what was so great, what was so incredible about our pastors, is the amount of grace with truth. And so they were able to then have a teaching moment, teach me. It was honestly me. I did not know. Like, I just needed a good teaching. Because once you teach me, I'm good. I'm a good rule follower. So teaching moment. And then they said, you're going to be getting married in 4 months. If you can just take the next 4 months to be good, respect each other, honor God, be good, don't have sex for the next 4 months, God's going to honor your marriage. And that's what we did. We made a decision that day to honor God the next 4 months and save ourselves for marriage. And it was completely worth it.
Come on.
So
awesome
parents, parents, here's the next thing. Moving right along. Don't be in denial that your 15-year-old, 14-year-old isn't even going down that road. Number one, there's an app called, or a website called The Cultural Translator. The minute you become irrelevant to the next generation below you, guess what age? Guess what age? 2 years after college, meaning 2 years after you graduated college, you're irrelevant to the generation coming up behind you. Wow. It's amazing. And they give you all the tidbits. They'll give you the YouTube channels, the hottest trends, everything. I read that thing every week. My kids aren't even high schoolers yet. They're to equip a parent. It's called The Cultural Translator. Okay, and then I read this today because my mom told me. I said, there's no way that's possible. Okay, get this. This is all over the news. Law enforcement officials say a quick threatening airline employee aptly named Denise Miracle. What do you know? The airline employee that saved the life of two girls was named Denise Miracle. Okay. Likely saved two teenage girls from human trafficking. Bottom line is, she, this 15-year-old and a 17-year-old, got a direct message on Instagram saying you two should be models. I own a modeling agency. Here's the website. I'd love for you to come out to New York for 24 hours. We'll do some music videos. I'll pay you $2,000. And I love, so these two girls lived in Sacramento, 15 and 17. They told their parents they were going to spend each other, spend the night at each other's house. Went to the Sacramento airport. The guy had bought her one-way, two first-class tickets for her and her friend. They were dumb enough or naive enough to say, listen, they see potential in us. It's a modeling agency. Here's the website. Never told anybody. Got to the airport, and this airline lady checking them in said right there, you know what? Something doesn't feel right in my spirit. Called the authorities. They came, started asking questions, and guess what? It was only a one-way ticket. These girls didn't even think about it. It's the number one scam for sex trafficking. And this 15-year-old, 17-year-old were almost on the plane, and this lady saved their life. If you think your kids aren't talking about it, being about it, that was a wake-up. You can Google it right now. It happened last week.
And so what's that resource that parents can use? It's called The Cultural
Translator.com.
Okay. Make sure you go there. It's going to be really helpful to you. But I know we've spoken a lot to people that are dating and marriage, but I think there's some single people out here. Can you raise your hand if you're single? Come on. We gave you 60 seconds earlier. You can meet, other people. Can we talk about how to use that single season, enjoy it? Because I think so many people, especially in church, I think it can kind of feel like, oh, I'm single. You know, obviously there's something wrong. Like, can we speak into that in terms of how do you prepare yourself during that single season? How do you enjoy it?
I think my wife did the most amazing job just dealing with, be real with yourself, know your insecurities, know what you're going through, and then equip yourself. And I think our church has the resources, the tools you need. If you need to know about it, we have pastoral care. We have premarital counseling. So if you're even dating somebody, it doesn't have to have a ring on it. I know Beyonce saying that, but, you know, it's just go through premarital. We did premarital for years with young couples, and it was fun. Now we just do marital stuff, and it's amazing. It's the same stuff. You guys, just to let you know, there's really five main things that the same couples deal with. I know the devil tries to convince us we're all alone. And while you're single, deal just with some stuff that you know you got. How do you know you got it? You ask your friends. Let your friends just be like, I'm giving you permission to tell me the truth. The devil loves deception because he's the best at it. How do you know you're being deceived? Well, one, you don't. That's the crazy part. But here's the other part. You ask your friends. You know, have any of you ever had a friend, hey, if I ever date somebody that's psycho, will you please tell me? Well, I've had two of those friends. And then when I told them, they're like, bro, you're so uncool. I'm not going to be your friend anymore. Well, bro, you gave me permission if you're dating. Why don't you ask your five other friends that we're all tight with if she's crazy? They all agreed, and he still stuck it out. Lasted 1 year in marriage. And you know what I said? Bro, you'd hate to use that term, I told you so, but you gave us all permission. We all told you. And then look what happened. It's like, so be coachable when you've given certain people permission to speak into your life. Pick those people wisely. And then that's a good for the singles. I'd say the same thing for married couples. Who you hang out with matters. Right. You know, we're intentional on who we pick. Every year, every quarter, but every year specifically, we have our 12 couples, and we just go through it. Are we adding value to their life? or are they adding value to our life? If we're not adding value to their life and they're not adding value to our life, why am I hanging out with the same 12? We should all be building each other. And the truth is, that's where iron sharpens iron. We don't need more friends, but I do need people that will challenge me, that I'll be inspired by, that I want to go on a trip with. And I've talked about it before. We went on eight couples to the BVIs on 50-foot catamarans. And honestly, you know, four of the eight couples, I mean, amazing. They're all amazing couples, but we really loved four of them that we could have done life with. The other ones were like, okay, and we said to ourselves, if we could design the perfect trip with the perfect eight couples, who would it be? We went home, we got intentional about those eight couples, and now it's up to 12 couples. And listen, and then we met this really cool couple, and we added them, two couples actually, a couple years ago. One was like, oh my gosh, reevaluate that. And the other one was like, man, they're amazing, and now they're some of our best friends. We came to North, and we developed amazing relationships with some of you at North, like the Deuce and some Lance and Alicia, and just some people that we didn't even think. Man, I went home and crossed off the list and added two more. It's not religious. Yeah. You know, stick to 12. Yeah. We're going 14. Yeah. But we only have so much time in our life, okay, as we get older with kids and stuff like that. Yeah. So I'm super intentional with date nights. I'm super intentional with couple nights. Yeah. I want to invest in them, and I want to be invested in. I just don't want to do life going, oh, man, you know, it just can be a buzzkill, and we don't have time to buzzkill our life. You know, if you want to change the world or light up the world, hang out with couples that are inspiring, that people that are inspiring. Yeah, if you're single, look at those friends. Now, it's not to say you're just ditching everybody else. I just know I have a couple best friends. When I go home, I can't spend more than 2 days with them. There's still some of my best friends from high school. I just know there's no fruit. You know what I mean? And I love them, and I want to see them come along. They just don't want to get out of their own way. So I just keep praying for them, keep believing, and one day I'll add them to the list, you know?
Love it. And a lot of that that you talked about in terms of you being on the same page with friendships, it probably relates a lot to finances and even communicating when you guys have upsets, like, you know, you talked about yesterday. So how do you deal with those, and how do you guys deal with confrontation and getting through arguments? Because I'm sure anybody had an argument in here before with their significant other? Yeah. We need to learn how to deal with that healthily. So can you guys talk about that a little bit?
Healthy arguments. Okay, so if you argue, it is okay, and it's actually healthy. Like, how boring would it be to never have a disagreement with the person that you're doing life with? And if you're not, I have to ask the question, are you pushing hard enough towards what God has for you? Because if you are, then there's going to have stuff coming up. And it's okay to have arguments. Like we talked about this morning, we had one last night. And, you know, the most valuable thing, and this has been a really big growth area for us, just so you all know. And we still haven't arrived to the perfect answer. But so long as God is always in the center and you're always going to prayer, it sounds tough, but always going to place of prayer and asking God for wisdom in the middle of argument, there's going to be good results. And so, and after an argument, if you're able to communicate about it in a calm manner, in a regular conversation, and actually say what kind of ticked you during that moment, what made you upset, what triggered you in that moment, what happened for you, is a healthy thing.
And realize, like, my wife likes to talk about it right there. I'm like, man, I need some time to process. But here's the deal. She had an alcoholic dad that just would go off the rails, go off the handles. And so that communication worked for her. And so, man, when she was going off the rails, going off the handles, I'd be looking at her like, I'm going to lose my life right now. Like, a brush went flying by. I'm like, Pastor Jurgen, a brush missed my head.
He actually locked up his guns in the house at one point. It was that scary.
That was after a birth, no sleep. I just realized my wife needs two things. Blood
sleep,
sugar at all times.
And food.
And sleep. I carry protein bars like a weapon.
Don't let me get hangry.
Someone's like, hey, Dr. Matt, why are you at Costco all the time? I have protein bars everywhere. Every car, emergency stashes. Every cupboard. Vacation homes. Places I haven't even been yet. I sent a box months ago. I just know she needs blood sugar and she needs sleep. So I start looking. If I know she goes two nights in a row with no sleep, I just say, man, I hope.
I don't see him for 2 days. So I'm like, where's my husband?
Oh.
He feels Vamp something
flows
coming.
In town. Listen, there's only one night of sleep that's off, and it's, is that too much? Sorry. Listen,
that's rude.
I'm telling you.
Rude.
I just know the things about my wife, so I set my life up for success. And then God gives us grace. So I know that those two, my wife needs her sleep. I'm going to set it up so she gets her sleep.
Can I just say this? Don't, like, quote scripture during an argument. That is so lame. I'm like, really? And then we'd get in an argument, and he's like, didn't you just go to church? I'm like, well,
okay,
yeah, but it has nothing to do with the reason why I'm mad right now, okay?
How many argue only on Sundays? Do I have those couples? For a while, we were amazing, but it'd be every Sunday we'd argue. I'm like, I can't go to church anymore. It's the only day I fight with my wife. Pastor, you're going to have to equip me going, man, don't let the devil mess with you like that. Get up early and pray. The minute I got up earlier, took dominion, okay, took spiritual authority over my house, everything changed.
You know what we need to talk about? Because this will help you. It's called a coffee break agenda, and we talk about it a lot, but we've heard so many testimonies of people that changed the communication within their relationship, and we do this every week, and it gives me the opportunity to bring up things that I'm upset about so that I don't feel like I have to address every single thing in every single moment. So there's actually time carved out in our week where we talk about our whole life, but one of the questions included, if you guys have the slide for it, you can throw it up, but one of the questions is, in it, it says, what are your recent frustrations? And then it gives us both the opportunity to say, you do too.
No, I don't. Babe, you're like a 10 every week.
Yeah,
except
thanks.
Last night. So we'll talk about it on Tuesday. Okay. But
thanks. But here it is. So it really, so from the beginning, you're starting off with a 3-to-1 positive ratio. So you're forced to say 3 positive things about your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend at
that time. And when you're mad at them, you just don't, you're like, I got to say 3 positive things right now.
Yeah, it's pretty tough, but I'll
the
be
Holy
like,
Spirit helps you.
Yeah, I'll be like, I really like your haircut or something. Yeah.
And people can, I think we have some of these out in the foyer tonight,
yeah, so
right?
So two things. My buddy Garrett Gunderson, wealth manager, everything, he was so realized that so many people had all this money, but the relationships were screwed up. He literally became so passionate about marriage that if you go to freedomfasttrack.com/marriage, he put up all these free downloads. And I went home to look at his new coffee break agenda, and this thing is even better. He's got stuff for the kids in there. He has all these agendas for his kids now. They can score points. So if they go on a date night and they want to stay, you know, his kids want to score points because then they get to go get a reward on Saturday. He said, man, it changed everything. Our nanny loves us. Those kids are scoring points. So he has like a kids break agenda in there. So this thing's like 4 pages long now. It's free on that. He doesn't want it. There's some podcasts with him. There is One Extraordinary Marriage. They go to our church. They have like the number one marriage podcast. Yeah. Literally, even for married couples, literally, it's One Extraordinary Marriage. It will help you. Our friends, they come to us all the time. We love it. We're just having a glass of wine. They're telling us, you know, crazy stories. I'm like, girl, you need to have sex with your husband. And she goes, oh, well, all these excuses. We said, you know what? Go to One Extraordinary Marriage, download the 7-day sex challenge, and come on, let's reignite this thing. They did it. She called me. 6 weeks later, Dr. Matt, I hate you. Well, oh my gosh, I thought we were helping your marriage. Nope. Unexpected baby number 3. We only planned on 2.
Oh, shoot.
So listen, a year later, my lion chaser brother, they have this amazing daughter they never planned for. I'm like, we don't even know what our life would look like with 2 kids anymore. We are so blessed with that 3rd kid. But they still give us the hardest time. It was because of that advice. I'm like, Lee, do I get a fuss? Oh, nothing.
Come on. Well, hey, since we're on the topic of sex, can you talk about... We went there, guys. We're going to finish it.
Yeah.
Amidst the craziness of life, because you guys have obviously a pretty crazy life, you lead North Campus, you lead Kids Church, mm-hmm. among other things just within the ministry side of things, and then you have several businesses. Amidst all that, how do you keep the passion alive? And it's been 12 years now, so I'm sure you went through some things. How do you do that?
Yeah, so intentionally date. And so we date all the time, and we have to make it fresh, real, and powerful. I wonder where I got those 3 words.
Yeah.
I just pretty much rip off church. But I want to date my bride all the time. I've learned it. I hang out with mentors that are passionate. I do have 3 married couples that blow us away, that are so inspiring, that live crazier lives than us, and mm-hmm. yet they are passionate, and they don't even teach on it. They have other things. But they just said they were so sick of watching. They're very successful financially. They were so sick of watching lives and kids and everything destroyed due to broken marriages. They just sat down one day and said, that's it. They had one final friend, each of them, that just went through a divorce, and they said, that's it. We're drawing a line in the sand. That we are committed to making sure all our relationships start to get the tools, the resources, whatever. And so literally when we met them, you know, I have different mentors in different areas. That became one of the most, because I realized, man, both our parents were divorced. My parents were Christians, and they were married for 32 years, and the devil took them out after 32 years. And they both are remarried. I would say they both wish they stayed in it, and they just didn't have the tools and the resources. Yeah. So I'm like, if you think I'm committed to anything, hey, marketplace is great. Everything, listen, it's all fired up for me. Marriage is the number one thing I care about for this house. I want us to be such a light, so many epic marriages that other people are going, what's going on over that church? You can be all about supernatural healing, supernatural this, salvations every week. And I want to see all that, but I want to see young people that believe in marriage again. I want to see young people go, I'm not sure if I want it, ball and chain. If my friends say ball and chain, I slap them as hard as possible. Like it's like a elbow. Like don't say ball and chain. You're prophesying a ball and chain. I don't even hang out with people that talk like that.
Can you talk about the initiating thing with the 1 week and you have days?
I don't, what?
Okay, so this is so practical.
I just live it. I don't know.
So practical. Two pieces of advice. So women, buy some lingerie. Very easy. Buy it and wear it for your husband. That'll help your sex life. Men are saying amen. Second thing is, in 1 week, so there's 7 days. So the wife has 3 days and the husband has 3 days to initiate. And then there's one free day. So the one extra day is a bonus day. And so if the husband has Monday, Wednesday, Friday to initiate.
This is important.
Then the wife has to have sex. If the wife initiates on the other 3 days, the husband has to have sex. And on the bonus day, it's optional. So, like, if you're having issues in this area, set up the days. Set up a system. Like, so many things we overcomplicate. And even for women, like, we get all emotional about it.
I mean, I can't even. Just give me a break.
All you have to do.
She bosses me around on my days. I'm like, babe, it's my day. I'm sleeping.
So,
but listen, there's initiation day, so yes. It's like, if it's my day and I initiate, she can't say no.
Yeah.
But if it's her day, you know, she initiates, so you don't get all the days. Yeah. I just want you to be a witness.
I don't get all the days, whatever.
That's why they have the coffee break agenda.
We're going to talk about that tomorrow in our marriage agenda.
Handle that on Tuesday. Awesome. Well, with that said, we're going to wrap this thing up. So on our last note, I know there's some things that maybe you wanted to say, just kind of as a send-off for somebody here. Maybe take 30 seconds and say something to them that on any subject, whether it's, you know, marriage, raising kids, being single, what would your send-off be?
Well, one of my send-offs is, if you don't download the thing off Freedom Fast Track, I do have the coffee break agenda right here on my Mind Mastery Tracker. It's just to track all our conversations. I'm a dude. I need practicality. I need a start doing list, a stop doing list. The coffee break is on the front of this. I want to give it to this couple that's been married 44 years.
Yeah.
Come on. I know they don't need it, but he said, he came up and talked to me 44 years, and he said, man, I don't want to ever have a ceiling. I know we could always be better. I like an attitude like that. And I got him out there $20. I'm going to use the money to sponsor people, men to emerge, because that's where I've seen more men around the campfire get set free in this area. And that's why we have men's prayer. Men's prayer, it honestly isn't for any other reason except to deal with your stuff. You know, we got to deal with our stuff. Pornography is a big deal. Don't think that a Maxim magazine is not going to lead you astray. It will. You know what I mean? I used to be the guy that used to be pretty flippant about it, but I'll tell you what, the more that I've been around, the more I watch, it's the little things. Like, you know, just don't look up hashtags on Instagram. It might start innocent, but you next know, one left turn. And it's a left turn. And the minute, listen, I'll go. It will go a left turn for me. Don't act like just I'm a pastor, suddenly my Instagram's blocked. But if it goes left turn, I immediately like, God, delete that image. Right. And now I know I'm not going down that road. Because I am. I love following cool people and check it out. Next thing you know, you're just checking out one thing and it goes left. You don't know. But you take every thought captive. And I immediately go, God, delete that thing. Get it out of there. And I'm not going back. Because what the devil will do is, like, oh, that didn't hurt. Look one more time. See, when you see a hot girl walking by, it's not the first look. That's not sin. It's when you keep, and then you double take. That's where the devil trips you up. And then what starts off is, you know, it can be stressful with kids and marriage and, You just take that innocent look, and then it becomes that innocent thing, and then that innocent magazine, that innocent, and it leads you down this path. And I promise you, you know, every time I try talking to my buddies, like, you really don't need to go to Vegas for a bachelor trip, because it ends up at certain places. Guard your heart. Guard your mind. I met Pastor John, and I probably told the story, but the real quick thing was we were both in Vegas at the same bachelor party, didn't know each other, and I could tell it was coming, and I was going to be that guy, and I just started coming to C3, and I just felt freedom for the first time. I just broke soul ties. I just felt free, and I knew what was about to go happen. They go, hey, man, we're all going to go. Come on, let's go, Hubbard, let's go. And I go, I'm not going to go. I'm going to go. I'll go have fun doing other things. Yeah. And he's like, man, you're as bad as my buddy John. He suddenly doesn't feel well. Go check on him. So I went and found him, and we became BFFs for life. And then, you know, now he's the pastor of Central. And we still joke around about we took a stand for our wives. And when I get guys that always say it, I was like, yeah, I get it, man, but my wife's child, I can go home and check her out. Yeah. That's the truth. Yeah. It just rattles them because they're not used to anybody because the pure pressure gets us down the road. And I'd say the last thing is don't play the God card on everything. You know, single people going, oh, I used to have people come in all the time. And they'd be like, yeah, God really told me that I was going to marry Andy Bennett. I'm like, oh, that's so weird. You're the sixth chick in here this week that told me God was going to marry Andy Bennett. I mean, Andy Bennett's a good-looking worship leader.
He is good-looking.
And it was the truth. And Pastor Jurgen and I used to joke about it. It was like, man, God's really got a lot of favor on Andy Bennett. But it's one that wasn't weird and all Spiro that got Andy Bennett. So, Irina, good on you, girl. But I'm telling you, it just gets, Christianese gets weird about that stuff. Let's just be normal. Let's date. Let's honor and respect. Let's not compromise. And then let's have epic love affairs. Man, we'll start having, you know, date night ideas. I mean, the internet, I didn't know what a good date night was. I started Googling 100 romantic things to do in San Diego. And listen, back in the day, I didn't have a lot of money. But do you know how far, you know, go get a flower and walk her down the beach? Hello. I know, babe.
That's free for somebody.
Come on.
That's cute.
It was
cute. We can do that this week.
Let's do that, babe. But the difference is, draw the line at the beach, people. Let her go at the parking lot.
If you're not married.
If you're not married. But we just got to romance our wives again. There are tools and resources, even in this church, that we can equip ourselves with. Parents, talk to your kids about it, about dating. You know, I joke around with Micah right now. She's going to be a boss by the time she's 16. I can't wait for a dude to ask her out. It's going to be awesome. That's it.
I think I want to wrap us up by praying for everybody.
Come on.
Yeah?
I love it.
Is that good?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Awesome.
What I was going to say, too, we are going to have ministry time.
Yeah, we're going to have ministry time at the end. You can come up for prayer, but I'll just close us in prayer if that's cool. Awesome. God, I thank you so much for every person here. Lord, I thank you for every single person, every dating person, every married person, and those in between, God. I thank you, Lord, for relationships that you have put us on this earth to have relationship with other people, God, and healthy relationships, Lord. I pray right now that you would download, show us, give us wisdom, show us and guide us how to have the most incredible, healthy, loving, full of joy relationships that we can have, Lord. And I come against the enemy who might be trying to torment marriages right now, God. And I thank you that you cast out every demonic thing that might be coming against them, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that you have created marriage, God, and that it is so important to you, God, that people stay together and have incredible marriages, Lord. I thank you, God, that you are building this church to have healthy relationships, that we could be a light in our city, that we can be a light in our friends' lives, God, that we can be influencers, Lord, and that our marriages can make a stand, that our relationships with our friends even can make a stand, God, and that we would show your love and your light working in and through us, Lord. We give you this in Jesus' name. We love you. Amen.
Amen.
Come on. How incredible is that?
Come on. Well, I want to give you two resources as we wrap it, then I'm going to pray because we all need Jesus. I love this couple. You know, upon his death, radio and TV star Jack Benny's widow, Mary, received a red rose. After several days, another rose delivered each day. Mary called to find out who was sending them. The florist told that Benny made arrangements for a rose to be sent to her every day for the rest of her life. I'm telling you, hundreds of stories. You know what I do when I'm down? I get on and I watch inspirational videos. You know why I do it? Somebody out there has it worse off than me. But they overcame. And on my down day, when I'm feeling like throwing a pity party, I get on. You know what I do in marriage? I get on, I look for success videos. Marriages that were on the rocks. I'm talking, there's a book called Love Works by a pastor right in San Diego who had an affair on his wife and God delivered him. Went back and rebuilt it, created an entire ministry out of it. Nothing is too far gone for God. Nothing. There's four or five testimonials just on that alone. That couple has saved some serious marriages in our own church. The biggest thing the devil can do is shame you so you don't expose that little weakness going on in your marriage. But the greatest thing you can do is let God alter it, shine a light on it, set you free from it, break off condemnation and guilt. Maybe it's too big for something like tonight, but that's why we have men's prayer. That's why we have women's prayer. I protect that. I'm sacred to my heart. But sometimes we just got to let God do what God's going to do. Mike Connell, who's coming to Men's Emerge, he is like the top in deliverance ministry in the world. But why wait until Emerge? You can go down to MikeConnellMinistries.com. You can go to downloads and manuals. And there's one that says spiritual authority. And when men know how to take spiritual authority over their house, over their marriage, over their workplace, I've watched stuff get broken off and set free in one night. We will equip you. It's up to you to pick up the axe and nail that thing. That's what I preached on this morning. So with every eyes closed and head bowed, I just want to pray. If you don't know Jesus, I'm telling you what, it's a lot tougher to get through life without him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's going to give you wisdom and discernment, maybe that you don't already have. But the Holy Spirit's going to guide us. He's going to lead us men to redeem a nation. I'm telling you what, there's powerhouses in this room that you are called to live an epic love affair. You have influence. I don't care if it's influence just over your family. But I want Jesus to be in the center of it. So if you don't know Jesus, you want me to pray for you, you want Jesus in your life, you want to ask our personal Savior into your life, I want you to raise your hand so I can pray for you. Anybody here tonight? Come on. The Holy Spirit is going to move in this place. We have resources for you. This beautiful young lady right here who has a Bible and a following Jesus. If you've never been baptized, there's power in baptism. You go down one way, you come up a new creation. Even Jesus got baptized. It's good enough for him, it's good enough for us. And for those of you who need prayer, if you're single and you just need prayer for some confidence, break off insecurity, if you're dating and you just want some reconciliation in that dating thing, listen, we want to pray for you. And if you're married and you know the devil's been coming in, those are the three people I want to pray for. You can stand where you're at, and I'm going to pray for you right now. If there's anybody here that wants prayer tonight, I'm also going to have the ministry team come forward. We're going to anoint some stuff with oil. Listen, my wife and I do communion all the time. If we feel like something's going on in our household, we'll take communion at night, the blood of Jesus. We consecrate what's going on in our house. We didn't get to it, but if your kids are off the rails, take communion every night. This is a house of grace. I've watched many pastors' kids off the rails because the enemy comes in to kill, steal, and destroy. But I've watched Pastor Jurgen and Leanne battle. I've watched it done differently with grace and love, but a serious battle. Telling you, no matter who you are or where you are tonight, don't leave here the same way you walked in. Prayer can change everything in a moment, even if it just brings hope back to your spirit. So I'm going to pray for every one of you right now. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, I ask that you move across this place right now. Holy Spirit, just land on these couples. Show them the truth. Show them the way. God, I ask for discernment and wisdom. We break off religious spirits in the name of Jesus. We break off pride in the name of Jesus. I break every stronghold that's not of you in the name of Jesus. God, we pray for wisdom, discernment, a joy to overflow. God, I ask, Lord, that a new thing, when they look at their spouse tonight, something shifts in the name of Jesus. Lord, if there's any unforgiveness or bitterness toward the spouse, we expose that lie right now. And God, I ask that you move in that calloused heart and soften it again, Lord. I ask that scar tissue be removed over the hearts of men and women in this house. That God, you're going to expose every lie that the enemy has tried, every fiery dart that's been fired. God, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. That you're giving us fresh armor. God, you're going to expose where the enemy's been infiltrated into our house. God, you're going to teach us where to set boundaries up with friends that no longer need to speak into our life. God, we're going to break off negative relationships that are influencing us in a negative way, that are keeping us out of your destiny, out of your calling, Lord. God, I ask that you put a fortress around our family, that you put a fortress around our marriage, that you put a fortress around our health, Lord. Lord, that you're shifting something in the spirit right now. God, Lord, that you're creating friendships right here in this house that can last forever, that we can lift each other up, we can encourage each other, that we can see a healthy accountability. God, I thank you for pastors that exemplify what that looks like, that God, they're real. They preach on it. They go after those things. But God, tonight, people are set free. In your majestic, holy name, we give you honor. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.